So we got to the very top, the new Mishnah there. The Mishnah tells us that b'chol kosvin b'dio, you know, everything you could write with the dio, with dio is some type of ink, b'sam, b'sikra, b'kumos, b'kankon, some different types of inks, and different colors, different materials. Should we ask your definitions now? Yeah, let's go for it. Dio is ink, right?
Dio is ink, the same as paint. Sikra is red pigment. Kumos is gum. Kumos.
Gum, sorry.
Kankantin is ferrous
sulfite. Okay, ferrous sulfite. Okay, we just started the new Mishnah. B'chol davar shusha kaima, any other material that really lasts, it's you could use for the get. Ain kosrin, lo b'mashkin, you can't use any type of liquid, lo b'meperos, no fruit juices, lo b'chol darish emes kaiman, anything else that doesn't last is disqualified as well for writing. Al kol, on any material, what you could write on, al kol kosrin, you could write on any material that you want. Al ha'ala shel zayis, an olive leaf, v'al karen shel para, on a cow's horn, v'nosin la sapara, then you give the entire cow as the document, the shtar, get if you will. Ayat shel eved, you place on the hand of the eved, v'nosin la sa'eved, then you give the eved over. Interesting, the discussion in the poskim. So if an eved is walking around, let's say on Shabbos, and he has the get written on his hand, is that considered a violation of hotzah on Shabbos? He just carries his hands, it's part of his body. Obviously, a body is not considered hotzah, but since he writes and now his hand being used as a chepsa, it's a get, and it's a good get according to the Mishnah here. So they talk about whether or not that's going to be a violation of hotzah. Okay, so that's the Tanakam. Comes along with Rabbi Yosi, Glili Omer, Ein Kosin Lo Al Davar Sheish Baruch Chaim Velo Al HaOchlin. He says one cannot write on something that is alive, an animal, a person, an eved, and a person cannot write either on food as well. So we'll see in the Gemara why that is. So Gemara tells us now, we're going to need you again, Harry, for all this. Dio is diusa, so ink. Diusa must be Aramaic for ink.
Black.
Okay, black ink. You said it was same. Sama is some type of...
Or pigment.
That's rash.
Okay.
Yellow arsenic.
Okay, fine. Great. Komos, we said, was gum, kuma. Gum sounds like gum. And Rashi says it means sraf ha'ilan, some of the sap from the tree. Kankansum Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Shmuel Charsa Du Shkafa. Rashi doesn't help us much.
Black
pot, huh? What did you say, Adam?
I thought we skipped a line.
Yeah, it's very possible I did. Okay, I do that often. Sikra is Sikra is Amar Rabba Bar Chana Sikrasa Shema. Okay, it's called Sikrasa. I think we said red. And then again, we'll read Komos Kuma, Kankansum, Amar Rabba, Barbarchana, Amar Shmuel, Char, Sa, Du, Shkafa, some type of black polish. Okay, great, we got beyond that. I don't think we need you anymore. No, maybe a little bit. So Gemara says, V'chol davar shu miskayim, anything else that is going to last will be good as well. So, L'suye mai, to include what? L'suye hod detani Rabbi Chanina, Kasu, B'meitaria, V'af tzakasher. These two also work. So, what's Meitaria? Rashi says, Meitaria is referring to Megishamim, rainwater. That works. I'm not sure why rainwater would work. It doesn't really have any, it doesn't look like anything. There's no appearance, there's no color. So Rashi says, Lashon Mori, from his Rebbe, he says, Me Tarya's Me Mayim Shishoen Ba Et Pri. Water that fruit was soaked in, Shehu Kein Afatsim. So it's a gloss, some type of glue, or gloss, some type of gloss that they put over the document. So you have an ink that's glossy, that works as well. Now what are the definitions here, they say? Me Tarya and Afta?
Dirty collected rainwater, or according to Rashi, a certain fruit had been soaking in it, like you said.
And after is
gallnut juice.
Gallnut juice. That's what you say. All gallnut juice. Okay.
Good old gallnut.
Exactly. Yeah. Always you run out of ink, you always pull out the gallnut. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chiya Kasu Be'ever B'Shachar B'Shichar Kasher. These are also good. Ever is what, lead? Okay. Shachar is
charcoal.
Coals, okay, and shichor.
Again, the shoemaker is.
That's going back to the charsadush kapu we said before. Those also work. So itmar hamavir dio agave sikrasa b'shabbos. So let's say if sikrasa, we said again was the red ink, and a person writes with black ink on top of that on Shabbos. What's the halacha? So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Damar Tavai, both of them say. Chayiv shtayim, you chayiv two violations to achas mishim kosev. One is because you're writing now, you're changing from the red to the black, so it's a new writing. V'achas mishim mochek, dio agavid, mishim mochek, And also you're erasing the red by covering it. That's a way of erasing it. And therefore it's a violation of mechika and ksiva at the same time. Dio agave dio, black on top of black, or sikra agave sikra, red on top of red, pater, they both say. Because you haven't done anything, you haven't changed anything, you haven't erased anything, you haven't written anything new. It's red and now it's red, it's black and it was black and it is black. Nothing has been done. Sikra agave dio, red on top of black. So I imagine the red on top of black, I'm not sure how much that's going to appear. The color might not come up so much. So amri lechayv, amri lepater. One hand says, some say it's chayv, some say it's pater. Why? Amri lechayv, those who say you're chayv for putting red on top of black, mocheku, you're erasing the black. So I guess it does cover the black. So the question, why is there no kosev there? And amri lepater, mekalkahu, some say you're destroying it, and therefore it's going to be pater. So why don't you say, if it's mochek, it's going, Rashi says, mocheku, all the way up, it's a little bit higher up, below kosev, why is it not kosev? Shemitchila hayakosev hagun ma'ata. It was very nicely written. It was written in black. So by you calling over in red, you're destroying the initial writing. So I'm not sure why that can be kosev, though. I guess it wasn't common to write in red. So the other way around, we say if it was red and they wrote black on top of that, that would be both mochek and kosev. In this way, it's only mochek, but it's not kosev. Okay. You have something you saw on the back there, Adam?
The rush, but
I see the black letters were superior to the red letters that are now there.
Uh-huh. Okay. I guess that's commonly used. You know, I guess it's like the way it is now as well. I guess the shot would be, what about black and blue? What about that? Blue is very common now, but not as common. I know there's some places that have marked that you have to use a certain color to, I think for any legal document, it has to be in black. So I wonder about that. Would blue? Blue is used more than red, but I wonder how that would work out. I'm not sure. Okay, the Gemara, and by the way, it's interesting that they didn't have blue, was not one of the colors listed here. Unless it is, that we just don't know. If it said black and red, it didn't say green or blue. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Bay minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Eidim she'en yodin lachtom mahu. If an aide doesn't know how to sign their name, what's the halacha? Mahu sheyichtevu lahem besikra v'yichasmu k'savalein. Could they someone else write their name in red and then they could just trace it in black? So we said above, that's a ksav. Does that qualify as a ksav for the purposes of edus? Oh, eino ksav, maybe it doesn't work. So they say, amalei eino ksav, this does not work. Amalei v'halo limad teinu rabbeinu kosev aleinu ksav aleinu in Shabbos. So again, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, they were chavruses, but also Reish Lakish was their brother-in-law and also the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says, Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yochanan, didn't you teach us that a person writes black on top of red? It is considered ksiva. It's an Isser Shabbos. So too it should be ksiva with regards to Eidus. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan responds back, V'chi mipnei anu medamin nasik ma'isa, because it seems, I never paskin the Hichel Shabbos, it appeared to me that it would sound like ksiva, but that was l'chomer, one shouldn't do that. But Lakula, to allow Eidus Aksav with black and have a red, I never went that far. I never was Mekil. So Rashi explains this, that V'chi mipnei sh'anu medamin, halfway down Rashi's, sh'anu omdin v'sfum, we think, it seems to be, v'omdin mu'uma levano l'hachmir, it seemed like they were leaning towards the Chumrah on Shabbos, but that's not going to make us conclude, Nas and Maisa, we're going to act l'hakel, afilu in Shabbos, even with respect to Shabbos, where we were machner, in ba Maisa liyadeinu bizman beis ha-mikdash, l'haisinu somech al divrei l'havel l'chun lazar, we wouldn't say you have to vade bring a chatas because you violate kosev, because it's possible you weren't violating ksiva, and it would be chun bazara. So just we think, we're inclined to say that it's a ksiva, but be machmer in Shabbos, but we're not going to be mekel with respect to ksiva, and shar.
That's what I understand. The reason it's not absolute ksiva is why?
Good question. So we didn't address it, I think, because it was ksiva in the first place. There was red there before, and you haven't really accomplished anything else other than a new color.
I mean, it's not two letters. It's not. It's just writing on top of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
I'm just. Maisa, it's not what we consider ksiva to be chayav and Shabbos. It's. That's what we're saying. It's just some form of writing, but it's not enough to be qualified as actual ksiva.
It might be. We just don't know for sure. They're not sure. There's a suffix. Now, the side why you wouldn't be ksiva is because you didn't write anything new. It was just happened to be red, and you wrote in black, but the it was legible beforehand, so... Fine. So the Gemara says, Amr le, no, it's Itmar, Eidim, Shein, Yodim, Lachtom, Eidim, who don't know how to sign. Rav Amar, so now we're on this topic of not knowing how to sign. They said, so what ages do we have? Two Edom want to sign something, but the Taka don't know how to sign their names. So Rav Amar, Mikarin Lehem Niyar Chalak, Mimalan is a Krim Dio. So we had a Machlok, as Rashi told us earlier, we're going to go with Rashi, which is that you scrape within the document, you carve out their name, they etch it in their name, and then they fill in the scrapes with ink. So that's what Rav suggests to do. And Shmuel Amar Be'ever, he used a lead, like a pencil. Be'ever Sagadaitach, would you think a pencil works? Because pencil, we know it could be erased, so it's more temporary.
I think we were saying that you're tracing in advance with the lead, and it's a ksav.
Correct, yeah. Sorry if I wasn't clear about that. Yes. You need the Aiden to sign. They don't know how to sign their own name. So you have to set the table up for them to fill in their name. So either you scrape, which is Rav and Shmuel said, no, you could even use lead, and then they could color over with pen and marker over that pencil. Thank you. So,
this topic is a little strange because no one can ever say, oh, I know his signature.
That's true.
Because he doesn't have one. If he ever had to sign something else, he'd never look the same.
Right.
That's a good question.
Does the Gemara ask that it's a ksav sheni yachol?
I don't remember. I'm like going to throw out this suggestion because the Gemara does many times that maybe it was uncommon for someone to sign, for an aid to be an aid without knowing how to sign. So when it were to happen, everyone would know about it. It'd be Kala Isla. Everyone would know. So that case, that document that happened with Reuven and Shimon, they know that the Edom didn't know how to sign. Because why in the world would you pick an aid who doesn't know how to sign? It sounds very strange in the first place. So maybe Kala Isla, but based on absolute nothing. Adam seems to recall a Gemara or something. Okay. So the Gemara says, again, Shmuel says, what you should do is trace it first with lead, but Aver, and then you have a pencil and you can write over it in a marker or pen. So says the Gemara, wait a second, Be'eva Sagadaitach, what do you really think? You could really write down in pencil that's going to work? V'hatani Reb Yechia Kasu Be'eva B'shichar B'shichar Kasher. Meaning the first time the first aide writes it, as tracing it for the other aide to sign, meaning I'm the one tracing it for the aide. I write his name out, I write Reuven out. That itself is a ksiva. We said before, that works for a get. So it's therefore when he writes on top of that, it may not be considered ksiva. It's only if there's no ksiva in the first place, like carving in the with a knife in the document, that's not considered ksiva. So when the aide writes, fills in the ink, that's ksiva. But if I first had a pencil, which itself was a ksiva, and he writes on top of that, it's possible that second writing is not considered ksiva. So that can't be the case. So Gemara says, lo kasha, ha be'avra, ha be'mayed avra. When we said before that Aver worked, that a lead worked, the pencil worked, that was the actual lead. What Shmuel says is take the lead, soak it in water. The water is going to become dirty. And you that dirty water with the lead in it, use that to trace. That's not considered ksiva. And then the aide comes along and signs his name on top of that pencil. What? Other way around, really?
I wouldn't think so either. Rashi says, but Aver is enoksav.
Wow, yeah. Okay, that's fascinating. Is anyone arguing this?
You wouldn't think that when you read it.
What do I know about pencils?
You would think it's worse if it's the actual lead.
Yeah. Okay, I guess. Maybe the idea is possibly when you write with a pencil, it's able to be erased. We could erase it. It's on the surface. When you put it in water, make it liquidy, that's going to be absorbed in the... If let's say you have a pencil and you get it wet, you can't erase it anymore. It's absorbed in the paper. So I guess that's the understanding here. Okay. So lo kasha hub avra. What we said that you're allowed to trace for the aid. That's with the actual lead, because that's not considered permanent, because you could always erase it. When we said above that it was kosher to use lead, that was when the lead was soaked with water. Then it becomes more permanent, and that's going to be a good get. Gemara says now Rabbi Abahu Amar b'mei milin. He says b'mei milin. What's mei milin? So Rashi explains around 10 lines up in Rashi. B'mei milin ma'im shishar behen afatzim tzchokim. That you soaked in it the, what did we say afatzim were again? Gallnuts. Crushed ground gallnuts. They're soaked in water. B'mei milin, that's what he's explaining Shmuel now, or he's saying a different answer, another suggestion. I guess what you could do for the aid?
Another way.
Right. So you write it in mei milin, and then the aid could sign it on top of that. So the Gemara says, "V'hatani, Rabbi Chanina, kasu b'meitari of afta kasher." What do you mean? Didn't we say using gallnuts was actually good ksiva forget? So therefore, if it's a good ksiva forget, it can't be good to use to set up the aid, because when I write it down for the aid, I already that's considered a ksiva, and his writing on top of that would not be considered ksiva. So Gemara says, "Lo kasha had the offits, had the offits." So one the case where I think it goes back to the gloss. How do they define the offits here?
Whether the cloth itself,
right? What is sealed or not? In such a way you can't.
Right.
Right. So let's see. Rashi's had the afitze haklafim mubadim befatzin. They were prepared with gallnut juice. Rosh min aleim es ha'edim b'mei milim. Then you can prepare the ksav of the aid with mei milim, gallnut juice on top of that. To have a ksav shere mara haklafim kamara ksav ve'inunika. It's the same. I mean, let's say there's a certain color to it. You put the cloth, and it's like a little beige color. Let's say. So then I put mei milim on top of them. You can't really tell the difference. It's the same exact color because the parchment's made of gallnut juice, and I'm writing the gallnut juice, and that would be okay. But when it's not sealed, when the paper is not sealed with gallnut juice, it's, let's say, very white, and then I put gallnut juice on top of that to write, then it's noticeable, and that's a ksiva, and the aid can't sign on top of that afterwards. So Gemara says again, halokashia had afitz, that's where gallnut juice is, where it's permitted to then write on top of the gallnut juice. Had lo afitz, she'ein me milin agave milin. Then one is where there is no gallnut juice on the actual paper, because then it's not going to be, then will be a problem, because then you could recognize the main milan on top of that. Rapapa Amar Baroque. No, you know how they set up the signature for the aid? They use some saliva, and they draw out the name with saliva, and then the aid sign on top of that. V'chein ori le rapapa le papa Torah Baroque. And that's how Rapapa Paskin, to another individual whose name was Papa, he was called Papa Torah, who was what? He was like an ox worker or something?
Cattle trader,
okay. So he advised him to use rok. Bahani Mila Begitin, this whole discussion when we set up the stage for the aid to sign is with regards to Gittin. Aval Bisharos Law, when it comes to Sharos, we have to look at the last line of Rashi. He just says, the Rashi before that, Begitin. Begitin, we're very makel to allow an aid who doesn't know how to sign, and we could just set the stage up for him. Mishum Iguna de Kilakaman. It's Iguna. If we have two aidim and the Baal's ready to give the get, we want to make it sure it's done. I don't care the knowledge base of the aidim. Let's get them to sign. Maybe during the time they're not going to find aidim. He's going to go overseas where he's going to die, and she'll be stuck to the brother-in-law. So therefore, again, we're very makel. Aval Bashar Shtaros, says Rashi, Yichazer al Acher Aidim Bekin. We look for people who know how to sign their names. We have time. There's no urgency there. And therefore, we're more machmir when it comes to sharos. Says the Gemara, the last line of the Amud here, the Hahu, the Avid Uv, the Bashar sharos. There's once a case that happened with a non-get shtar. The Nagdi Rav Kana, and they did the practice. They used spit, whatever they used. I don't know if it was spit or meimulin or any of the other ones we spoke about before. And Rav Kana had given the guy lashes for doing this, being so maker when it comes to other sharos. Gemara on the top of Amud Bey says, Tani Kavase, there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav. Edim, and Rav, by the way, he said what? He says that you could rip, we're going back to ripping the paper. You scrape in the paper, you carve out, and then the aid signs in on top of that. So what's a brisa? Edim shen yodim lachtom, mikarin lahen niyar chalak, umimalan es hakroim dio, like he said. So it comes along, Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel, but the medram, Amurim, when is the Shubagidinash, and we're makel that you could do such a thing, aval, b'shichri avadim, mishar kol sharos, any other document, im yodun likros, ulachtom chosmim, vimlav ein chosmim, if they're able to read and sign, they sign, if not, they can't sign. So Gemara asks the question, we already saw this previously, a few days ago. Karya manda chashmei, we're talking about signing, and we're not talking about reading. So Gemara says, no, chasu mechser, something's missing in this brisa, and should read as follows, v'alchikatani. Edim shen yodim likros, edim who don't know how to read, Korn lefnam, you read in front of them what they're about to sign. The chosman, and then they sign. And let's say shen yodim lachtom. Let's say they don't know how to sign even. So then you could do the ripping. You could carve out their name, and then they fill in the ink. And then comes along Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Bamed v'mamurim. When is this true? Begit enoshim. When it comes to get, only we're makel. Aval shechuri avadim v'shar kol sharos im yodim lekros. If they know how to read ulachtom and to sign, then they're able to chosman. Vimlav, if they're not able to read or not able to sign, ein chosman. We don't let them sign at all. So you have to be able to read and sign when it comes to other sharos. It's possible a person can know how to sign but not read. All our kids, when they were younger, they know, or some already now. My son knows how to sign his name, but he doesn't know how to read yet. So just because you could sign doesn't mean you can read. You have to be able to read and also sign. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, my time with Rabban Shimon Gamliel, why was he so machmir? Why did he distinguish between Gittin and other sharos? Shelo yehe, or what rather really, why was he makel by Gidin is really the question. Shelo yehe benos Yisrael agunos. Like we saw in Rashi before, he alluded to this. So Amar Rava, what's the bottom line here? Halacha ki Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we're makel with regards to Gidin. Rav Gam, the Mishmei, the Rav Amar, ain halacha, we don't paskin like that, we're machmer also with respect to Gidin. Vela kaman krabanim, who do you paskin like? We paskin like the Rabbanim. Now who are the Rabbanim? I guess the Tanakama.
They said everything was mutter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Rashi, first line.
Rashi, cool.
Where's Rashi?
First line.
Kavasa derav. Oh, Karabana, there we go. The Machshi lechul. So if we don't pass like Rashbag, then we're going to be very makel that everything's going to work. So v'ha ha'hu, the avad uvda b'shar sharos v'nagde Rav Kana, but we had the case before that someone did this by other sharos and he was actually lashed by Rav Kana. So he explains Targama Akriya. What does it mean Targama Akriya? Two lines down in Rashi. Kriya. Rather, let's do Targuma Lahadr of Gamda, where if Gamda said, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that was with respect to Akriya. Shim Yodim Lachtum, if they know how to sign, Afa Pishen Yodim Likros, Shapir Dami. As long as they know how to sign, even though they can't read it, that actually works. Sorry. It's fine. Should they, but the Kari Kame Achrinu Karbana, others read it. Rav Kana b'shein yodin lachtam. Rav Kana was a case where they did not even sign the name. V'gavi chasim amrin l'drav Kana le'el. So again, we're makil. The Rashbag permitted someone to sign only with regards to Gittin if they knew how, they didn't know anything. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to sign. So Rav Gamda, he said, no, we have to limit that a little bit. We have to have at least know, they should know how to sign even if they don't know how to read. So he was some type of hybrid. He was more machmir than Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And Rav Kana's case was where they didn't know how to even sign. That's why he gave them lashes. So there are four stages now. I know Adam's probably calculating this in his head. He always has these different opinions. So Chachamim says everything's permitted. Rav Shimon Gamliel says everything's permitted for Gittin. Rav Gamda says, really three positions. Rav Gamda says, and Rav Kana both say, no, you have to be able to at least sign, but you can't read.
It could be because that's his chayshish, like Harry said before. If a guy can't sign his signature, then he never could be.
Ah. Could be, maybe. Maybe that's talk of this far. What are your thoughts, Adam? You're thinking?
Just wondering, is this that he's saying at Korea, Dafka by Gittin or Sharshtar, or is it by everything he's saying that?
Oh, I thought this was, he seems to be more Machmir than Rava. Yeah.
You think he's more Machmir.
Yeah. So it seems
that. Yeah, because especially Rava says we pass him only like Rashbag with Gittin. And he says, no, the Lacha's not like Rashbag. Mm-hmm. So I think. Okay, let's go by. The Gemara says, Rav Yehuda mitztar, kari v'chasim. Rav Yehuda was not a very hard time reading. So he was looking over. He was very old. His eyes were getting weak. He was squinting. So Amalei Ula says, Lo tzrichas dahar. You don't need to be so bad. Don't read this. Relax yourself. Dahar Rabbi Elazar, Mara Deret Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar was the Mara Deret Yisrael. Chashav a name here. Rashi says, Baki mikol chaver, with greater than all his friends. So, v'karu kamei v'chasim. They read to him and he signed. Rav Nachman, Kari Kame, Sifra Dayana, V'chasim. And Rav Nachman also, all the Sifra Dayanim, all the different Sofrim, all the Dayanim read in front of him, and he signed. And Rashi says, Rav Nachman was a Dayan Hayam Mimona Mipi Reish Galusi. He was appointed by the Reish Galusi as a Dayan, V'chasim de Benesi, and he was the son-in-law of the Nasi, Kedamrin Behor Verotiv. The Sofra Dayanim, Yira Mimenu V'lo Meshakre. And the Sofra Dayanim were very scared of him. Rav Nachman, if you see throughout Shas, he was very, very scary. There's one Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Yudam Abayz, Yud Alf from Alf, where there's a discussion about whether Avadim are considered a Patiki, I think, whether you could collect Avadim for a Shibud. And there's a whole back and forth, I think, Rav Nachman and Rav Elazar maybe it was. And Rav Nachman says, no, you're wrong, and he leaves. And after Rav Elazar says, I have a proof against him. So he says, why'd you wait for him to leave to bring the proof? Because he said he was scared of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was, again, his high authority. He was a Dayan. He was the son-in-law of the Nasi. Very scary person. So people were very, very scared of him.
This case of Rav Yehuda, who was mitzvah to read, was talking about Shar Shtaros, right? So we were being Makel. Weren't we being Makel by Kriya?
We'd be a Makel only regarding, I thought...
Rav Kahana, back to that last Gemara, Rav Kahana said it was going on Korea that we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Wasn't he being Makel?
Let's see.
That what Shimon Gamliel said, only by Gittin Eshenberg we're going to be Makel, otherwise we're going to require Kriya and Chasima, He's saying, no, by other shtaros, you only need chasim.
You're right.
You don't need kriya.
He's right. Back to Rav Gamda. Rav Gamda said, be passing like chachamim, that it's kosher with regards to all shtaros, as long as you know how to sign your name.
He's being more mekel.
He's being more mekel, yeah.
Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not as mekel as Rabbanim. The Tanakh.
Right, so you have to be able to know how to sign, but if you don't know how to read, we can read for you. That's okay.
And then you could learn this next case over here with Rabbi Yehuda, who was having trouble reading.
An Ishtar.
As going on an Ishtar.
Very good. Okay, so again, so Rav Nachman was able to read. They read in front of him the Sifrei Dayanim v'Chasim, and he signed based on what they read to him. And the Gemara qualifies, B'davka Rav Nachman v'Sifrei Dayanim. This, like, Amos, only that relationship, because they really scared Rav Nachman, they wouldn't make anything up. Aval Rav Nachman v'Sifrei Yachrini. If it was some other sofim who were not scared of him, or Safar Dayane Vin Shiachwin and some other person who they were not scared of, lo. It has to be the certain amount of aima between the two of them. Have a good Shabbos.
What
only gonna tread water, I guess. Rapapa says, Kihava Asila Kame Shara Parsa. Once a Persian written document came in front of Rapapa, and Rapapa apparently didn't know Persian. David Bar Kal Shakusim, that was put together in a non-Jewish Bezdin. Mikre Lehul Lishnei Kusim, Zeh Shalob Fenezeh. He read it and had two Kusim, two non-Jews, two new Persian read it in front of, not in front of each other. But Meseach Levitimo, just reading the document as to test him, he wasn't showing it was for a certain purpose. It was just Meseach Levitimo, where there's certain admonis. They just kind of nonchalantly ask what it says. And based on their equal, their consistent reading with each other, he was able to rely on them that it was a good document and that what they said, what they read was what it said. Based on that, he was able to collect. So we see, if someone reads to you, you could trust in what the document says as long as there's a nemanus there. Whether it's because Meseach Vitumo or because it's a Ema, you know they wouldn't lie to you. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Amar li Rav Huna bar Nasan Hachi, Amar Amemar, Hai Shtara Parsa, De Chasima Le Sadi Yisrael, Mag Bina Me Mishabde, a Persian star that if two Jewish witnesses sign it, you could collect even from the liens. Halayada Le Mikre, but how does that work? They don't know how to read it. So, beyond they know, the Edom knew how to read Persian. Don't need a document that you're not able to forge? Veleka? No, but the Afsin, where it had the gulnuts covering, it'll be noticeable whether or not they forged it. We already saw this Gemara earlier. Don't you have to have like a summation of the document on the very last line and it didn't have this Veleka? No, but the Mahadir, it did have it. So it qualified as a real document. So Elamai Kamashman, what's the chiddush here? So it fits all the criteria necessary. So what's the chiddush of this story? The Gemara tells us the chiddush is Mai Kamashman, the chol lashon kasher. You could use any language; it doesn't have to be Hebrew. It could be Persian as long as somebody understands it.
Read it, man.
Tanina, the Mishnah tells us get shekasu ivris ve'edav yivanis. It was written in Hebrew, but the signatures were in Greek. Or yivanis ve'edav ivris, the opposite. It was written in Greek; it was signed in Hebrew. Kasher, that's good. So we see it's in the first Mishnah. So what's the story here? What's Rav Ashi coming to add on to a Mishnah? Rav Ashi doesn't add on to Mishnah Ayles. It's ready in the first Mishnah. You could use other languages. So Gemara says, "Imi we had that Mishnah alone. Have amina hani mila begitin. Only with gitin we're makel. Because of an aguna, we could use other languages. Aval b'shar shtaros, other documents where we're more machmir. Aim of low. Maybe you can't use other languages. Kamash blan. From this story, you can use other languages. I'm not sure what to the chiddush. Why you have to say that? It seems so obvious to me. You could use other languages." But maybe the point is maybe you couldn't use other languages that people don't know. Maybe that's the point. Certainly in America, there's a hominy to think in America you couldn't use English. In France, you couldn't use French. That's what their language was. So maybe the point is you couldn't use a language that wasn't in that place. Haraya, Rav Ashi didn't know how to read Persian. So maybe that's a chiddush. You could even use another language that's not commonly used in that town. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. Okay, weiter. Amar Shmuel says, Nasanla niyar chalak v'amrla harayz a gitech. He gives her, his wife, a plain get or plain paper, and he says this is a get. Negreshes chayshin and shemak me milan kasvu. There's nothing written. It's completely. It's a plain piece of paper. There's a concern. Maybe he had used gallnut juice to write it, and it wasn't noticeable. So it's somewhere absorbed within the paper. So it's a chashash of get kasvu. It's in negreshes. So it's interesting. Is it a real get or is it a chashash? It's a big nafkamina.
Yeah.
If it's a chashash get, so she can't be with her present husband, but she can't get married either. The way it's presented, it sounds like she's really megreshes, but based on a chashash. So what do they say here? I don't know. Do we take it seriously? I don't know if this means a real get or not. Let's see. Gemara asks, Meisive, Hareza Gitech, Menatalsam Vizarkas, Layamal, or here's your get. She takes it, throws it into the water, throws it into the fire, Olachol Davar Havit, anything else that's going to cause it to lose. And she never read it. The Chaz Ramar, then the husband said, I was just joking. That was a sharp pasimhu, a sharp manhu. And I have no idea whether he's lying or not, because she didn't read the document. Because shtar pasim is what? And shtar pasim is, Rashi explains, shtar pasim is shtar piusim, to be mefias, to appease someone. Sh'omer l'chaveiro ohavo mamino sh'yichtav lo ha'atzma shtar chov k'dei shira ashir. You have a nice friend of yours, you know, can you write a document that you owe me $5 million? Now, you don't really owe, we trust each other, but this, I could show this person, what a chashu person, I lend $5 million, that he owes me this money, even though it's not really true. That's shtar pasim, to give a person some clout. And then shtar mana is where a person says that, Rashi explains, Shekasav lelove velolava. He says to borrow money, but he never actually borrows from the bank. The guy borrowing trusts the bank that the bank will not collect from him unless he actually borrows. Either way, it's some other document. It wasn't a get. So what happens now? Are we concerned maybe he really is faking and really was a good get, and now he's just playing games with her? Or he's telling the truth? So the Gemara says, Mugureshis velo kol minu leolsa. It's Mugureshis, and he doesn't have the ability to ask her now to the rest of the world, because when he handed it and said it was a get, we trust him. And now she's mutter to the entire world, and now he can say, I'm joking, and now she's asr to the entire world. He can't just ask her like that. If he gets married to her again, that's the ability to ask her. But just to say that, he does not have the ability. So Gemara says, Taima de'ikaksav, only because there was there were letters there. She saw letters, she just didn't read what it said. There was a ksav, so we assume there's a chashash, and maybe there's a get. But ha'leka ksav, let's say there's nothing written on it. Lo, then we would trust him. We would trust him. If it's a plain piece of paper, we would trust him that it wasn't a get. So why not? Shouldn't he be concerned that maybe he wrote in the May Milan and it wasn't able to be seen? So maybe he hid, it was absorbed in the paper, nothing was there. Just like before, we were concerned, if he handed her a plain piece of get, maybe he wrote B'May Milan. Here's the also, even though it was plain, maybe B'May Milan he wrote it, and you can't assume it wasn't a get. So Gemara says, Ki kamar Shmuel tibatkin lebim maya dinara. When Shmuel said above that a plain piece of paper were concerned of a get, it's because they tested it over fire. They put it over fire, and then they had some chemical reaction, it started to bubble and boil from the main meal that was there. E palit palit, vilo palit, lo klu klumu. If something started to come out and boil, you saw that there's main meal, so then we're concerned. We put it over the fire, nothing came out, there's nothing to be concerned of. So that's the difference here. But here, you threw the paper away. You have no idea. So we assume normally people don't write with Meimilim. The Chi Palit Mai Havi, even when the Meimilim starts to bubble out of the paper when you test it, have a Hashta Hu Depalit. Only now it comes out. But before it wasn't there. It wasn't a Ksav until you created this chemical reaction. So Shmuel Nami Chashin Kamar. He wasn't saying it was a Vaveget. He was a Chashash. He wasn't really sure if it was or not. Okay, there are a lot of discussions here in Halacha about these things of hidden, could you write in invisible marker? Invisible marker, you write, you can't see it, but when you like take another marker on top of it, it all comes up. These fun like Crayola markers, they have these things. So right at the moment I wrote it, there's nothing that's actually seeable, nothing visible, but it's, once I do another maisa to it, it will become visible. That's a discussion they have in the post-scheme.
Essentially, if you're holding on to a get like that, and you don't do anything, so you're holding on to nothing. Because you don't do the heat it up or anything. So then it's nothing. Only it's l'mafreya is that.
Exactly. So that becomes interesting. What's considered ksiva? Now, l'mafreya must be originally that was considered ksiva.
Right.
Then I have a chas of anasana. I did accomplish ksiva, l'mafreya, and then the sina took place afterwards. So that's a very good point. I don't know if the Rishonim discussed this. They also talk about, let's say, a case in terms of shemus. I have a very small, illegible pasuk on a piece of paper. Tiny, tiny, tiny is fine. No one can read it unless you take a magnifying glass. Now it becomes legible. So does that mean is that considered a ksav now? It's not legible unless I do this maisa to that. So you could compare it to this case as well. They say it is a ksav. Because right now, even though I can't read the main milin, if I do a maisa and put it on the fire, that will create it and that qualifies as a ksav. So too, in terms of shemus, I would have to be put in gneza this as well. To read a little bit further, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, I need to run else actually. You know what? Maybe let's stop here, if that's okay. I need to help with carpool now. Okay, fine. Sorry about that. We'll try to get, I guess, whatever you do tomorrow.